Hi, my name is Sydney, and I'm so excited to have our very first Wednesday fanfiction writer on the podcast today.
Hi, my name is Kenzie. I'm Top Me Daenerys on AO3. I write a bunch of different stuff in the Wednesday, She-Ra fandom, and then also Critical Role. And yeah, I'm super happy to be here.
Ah, yay! So today I am trying to feed my gay fantasy girlies as best I can with our beautiful guest today. She is an expert, the virtuoso, the master, the authority, if I may, on all things sapphic in a fantasy world. And I am incredibly lucky to be in her company, maybe to learn a thing or two in the run of this interview. She is the author of Marriage of Convenience, Wednesday's Children Are Full of Woe, and the ghosts that we all know will flicker from view. Welcome, Top Me Daenerys. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, yay! I was excited to see your email because there's so many things. We've had a She-Ra fanfiction duo on before, but there are so many of your fanfictions, like Wednesday, who I've like never spoken to about like the fandom before, or Critical Role. Right. I've never spoken to anyone.
Critical Role specifically, it's a pretty vast fandom. There's a lot of pieces to it, a lot of content. There's like,
yeah. Oh god, yeah.
Hours of content for each of the campaigns.
Maya is like the D&D, like she's really into like Dungeons and Dragons, like tabletop role-playing game kind of things more than I've like dabbled in it here and there. Right. And I got into like the Adventure Zone, Dimension 20 on Dropout, but I never get into Critical Role just because of the vast amount of content there is.
It's hard. It's hard to get into for sure. I also like Dimension 20. I know of the Adventure Zone. I haven't done a lot in that fandom or read or listened to a lot of their stuff, but it's hard. And I would say like the best way to go into Critical Role is honestly just there's highlight videos for pretty much all of the campaigns, like episodes, and they're 40 minute episodes, like versus
like hours,
5 hours.
So
that's how I would recommend starting, at least.
That's good. I love a good highlight. I just watched something the other day. It was like a live stream that's like cut down to the best parts, and I'm like, that's what I love. Give me that.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so to get into the episode today and to get into you, tell me a little bit about your relationship with fanfiction, how you found and got started reading and writing fanfiction.
Oh my god, that's such a...
I know, it's like...
It's such a...
I love asking people it because it can either be just like this very long, intricate, well, it started when I was this age, this many decades, and I've gone through this many fandoms, or like I started writing fanfiction like 2 years ago.
Right. So I identify as a lesbian.
Okay.
And I think when I was younger, I always kind of struggled to see myself in media. I don't think I was raised in a pretty conservative Catholic household, so I don't even think I knew what fan fiction was for a very long time. But I got into fan fiction around the 2013 era, that kind of time zone when like One Direction was a big thing.
Yes. Wattpad.
Yep. I started writing on Wattpad. I was a really big fan of Fifth Harmony.
Oh yeah. they were Little Mix and Fifth Harmony were like the equivalent of like One Direction and Five Shot. Like they were the female girl group equivalent and like 2013.
Yeah. And so like as like I was about 13 at the time, 12, 13. And I think just I didn't even think I knew I was gay at that point. Yeah. I just think I really like these girls. And I think I just started writing it as like a joke. It was very much crack fic when I first started writing. It's very bad.
Hey, you know, we all just start somewhere.
Yeah, like one of those like Adopted by Fifth Harmony type.
Those are so funny. But I love having those. Like it's a thing that like don't get rid of if you're a fanfiction writer, if you're a regular author, don't get rid of those because even if like they make you just shrivel up and die inside, it just shows like how far you've come. Like, I just always advocate, exactly, like, keep your current writings, like, keep the writings from when you were, like, 13 years old, yeah, because that, like, it will mean something to you when you're 23, when you're 33.
Yeah, it is, it's funny, it, yeah, it's funny to look back on, it's funny to read now, but I think I just kind of got into the fanfic, like, verse, like, mm-hmm, world through that, and then there was some really good Fifth Harmony fanfiction.
Yeah.
Some, like, ones that were novel-esque.
Ooh, okay.
So I think when I was younger, I was like, oh, I kind of wanted to be like that. I'm dyslexic.
Okay.
So I always struggled to read, mm-hmm, and to write, but I think by getting into fan fiction, I actually helped myself.
Oh, absolutely. I believe that.
Yeah. Which is really funny to me, kind of like looking back at my life.
Yeah.
To think about. And then I'm pretty sure I probably took a couple years off of writing during high school just because I didn't want, you know, the shame comes in.
100%. Oh, yeah.
Reading and writing that.
I mean, the shame with writing fan fiction alone, because it was already a thing of, like, I've talked to many and many people who are like, yeah, have felt that shame or do still feel that shame.
Right.
I'm definitely trying to learn to, like, not, but I can only imagine on one hand, like, the shame of writing fan fiction, but then also, like, learning your sexuality through it,
right,
and,
yeah,
and battling both of those, like, things that you find, that you're finding shame in.
Exactly. And so I think I started writing on AO3, in 2019. So,
okay,
I was in college at that point. And that was, like, right around the last season of Game of Thrones,
mm-hmm,
when it was like coming out, and I was obsessed with Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
hence the new username.
Yes, yes.
Daenerys Targaryen was my favorite character, so I was very upset about the way that.
Oh my god! Yeah.
And I think I just had a group of friends at that time where, it's just different when you're like that age in college.
Yes.
Because all my friends I met, they were like, oh, we read or write fan fiction too.
Yeah. So
it was less shameful, and it was more like, oh no, you should write this,
mm-hmm,
read it.
It's one thing of getting older and, like, not, yeah, having that, like, because high school is so rough for, like, everybody.
Yeah. Right.
But then finding those right friends, like,
yeah,
I wish I had found friends in fandom, like, way quicker than I did, because I think it would have changed something for the better.
Right.
Because it wasn't until, like, after college for me that I found a friend, Maya, who, mm-hmm, like, openly spoke about fanfiction, and we,
right,
spoke about, you know, the anime crushes we had,
mm-hmm,
and, like, the fanfiction we were reading or writing, and it was just like, oh, this is a part of my personality and a part of,
right,
something I love that I had kept secret from so many people until,
right,
I just found the right
person,
the right people,
yeah,
the right person, yeah.
No, definitely, and so I think I wrote that one, I have this tendency of starting fan fictions and not finishing them.
Oh my god,
evil.
Tell me about it.
I know, it's evil.
Yeah.
It's evil, and I feel really bad, specifically with Marriage of Convenience, because,
mm-hmm,
that's my most popular one, and I have two more chapters left to write,
uh-huh,
and I left it on a cliffhanger, and I haven't finished it for, like, two or three years.
Oh my god!
And I, like, at this point, I just need to, like, reread it.
Right.
Remember where I was at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I finish things, but it's hard sometimes.
No, 100%. I mean, coming from someone who has, like, I think I have two fics on my AO3 that are unfinished.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's always that point of just like, I don't even want to look at it at this point.
Right,
like, at
right,
this
right,
point,
right,
it is just a thing that I feel ashamed about, and I don't,
right,
want to even look at it, because I'm just like, I'm so sorry to anybody who started this and are just, like, waiting.
Exactly. No, and I feel bad because I get comments about it all the
Whoa,
time.
Oh my god, yeah.
And, like, I mean, it will get, I am planning on finishing it someday.
Mm-hmm.
It's only two more chapters.
Yeah.
But,
the day when those people get an email,
yeah,
notification from AO3 saying that there's a new chapter, it'll be the best day of their entire lives.
Exactly. And then I think from there, I kind of fandom hop a lot. I like a lot of things, and I'll get really obsessed with things.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I can, like, get out my feelings is by writing fanfiction.
Mm-hmm.
I have a fan fiction that I wrote as a joke. It started as a joke.
Okay.
Which was a women's national woman U.S.
Yes.
national team.
Yes, and I do have questions about that one.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Nothing bad. It's just very different from what you normally write.
Yeah. Well, so I love sports.
Yeah.
Women's sports. I played sports, and I'm in a Discord for the women's national team, and I don't remember exactly why or what made me want to write it, but I have, like, a lot of what I was writing was, like, jokes to that Discord, or, like, to, like, two or three people that I thought would think it was funny, and then it blew up.
Yeah, it's like a crazy long fic that you have.
It was, you know, just, yeah, anyway. That one, and then I really got into She-Ra, and I wrote, I have two one-shots, and then I wrote Marriage of Convenience. A lot of my fan fictions that I write, it's because there's something that happens, or there's something I can't stop thinking about, like, what if this happened, and then I just write it for myself, because I don't see it, and, you know, usually there's a market for that. And then I kind of went a couple years without writing. I think I did write in between 2021 and 2023, but I deleted those fics because I just was like, they were like one or two chapters, and I was like, I'm just done with it. And then recently I've been more into Wednesday and then also Critical Role.
Yeah. So. Going back to what you had said, where you are kind of like one and done, I guess that's how I just saw it, like, kind of writer, where you have, like, one, currently, you have, like, one Wednesday fic, the one Game of Thrones fic, the one Critical Role fic that you're writing on, but, as you said, you have, like, a She-Ra, two one-shots, and then, like, a Marriage of Convenience, which is a long multi-chapter fic.
Right.
So what was it about She-Ra that didn't have what the other shows had that made you return for these one shots, or just to write more?
So I think my answer is that was during the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
And I had a lot more time to sit there and watch and rewatch She-Ra.
Yeah, that's totally, because it finished 2020, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so all of this came out, like, right at the end of the show, right after season 5 came out. And I don't think I watched She-Ra until the end came out.
Okay.
And then that was what kind of launched I love drawing too.
Okay.
So that's kind of what launched my drawing obsession with She-Ra. And then I got into, like, the Owl House. I just didn't write a lot of fanfics for that.
The Owl House is really good though, yeah.
I loved the show. I just never got into, like, I think I might have written one or two fan fictions or, like, things, and then I deleted them because I was like,
Do you know what it is about the fandoms that you write for? They have just, like, what is that thing that, like, made you write for something like Wednesday or She-Ra that, like, something like the Owl House didn't have?
I think with the Owl House, part of it was how young the characters were.
Okay.
Because they're, like, 14. And I just felt kind of awkward writing about 14-year-olds. And then with Wednesday, they're a little bit older. They're 16, 17. And also, that was, like, one of the first live shows, like, not cartoon shows that I got into in a long time. And I just really thought the dynamic of Wednesday and Enid were really, was really cute.
Yeah.
Like, I really liked that, like, Grumpy Sunshine type thing. And I think that's why I wanted to write for Wednesday. And I think a lot of times what I'm writing is what I'm reading.
Okay.
So if I'm really into something and I'm reading a lot of fan fiction for it, then I, like, kind of want to contribute to. So I think I didn't read a lot of fan fiction for the Owl House because
that's fair.
I just really liked how the show was. Like, I kind of liked, I didn't really have a lot of, like, qualms with it. Like, there wasn't a lot that I wanted to change. other than it being longer.
Yeah, I think that's fair, because there's you know, has always been that caveat of fan fiction that's like it's trying to get people what they wanted out of the show, where it's like the relationship that they didn't want come out of it. Of course, in the Owl House, the two main girl characters do end up getting together like pretty early on into the show, where like Wednesday was just a perfect little amalgamation of like the writers of the show like push her with these two male characters that she has like no chemistry with in the slightest. And then there's Enid, who is her roommate, and I was like, so they're way better together than any of these male leads.
exactly. And that's like what I was thinking about. And there's just so much. I mean, I think on the AO3's like list of growth for fan fiction, Enid and Wednesday as a couple were like in the top five.
Okay.
2023, like ranked. Which is crazy. Like, that amount of fan fiction that was written about them.
No, I think they're great. And I think with the other seasons coming out, like, hopefully that they will get more attention. Because, like, I think everyone kind of collectively was like, the thing with the male leads, we got to stop it. It was, like, not great.
No.
Like, it was, like, not the best part of the show. It was not a good waste. It was, like, a waste of time, kind of. And it was just, like, and then here was this. And this should have been more explored.
Right. I definitely agree. And I think they, I mean, we'll see. I hope that they will. I'm really interested. I mean, I also really just like Wednesday as a character.
Yeah.
I really like Jenna Ortega's portrayal of her. I think that's the best part of the show. I think there's a lot of parts of the show that were kind of cringy.
Yeah, for sure.
But I really liked her character, and I thought, it was really good. And so I would just be happy with, I'm just happy with another season, especially since Jenna Ortega is going to be, I think she's going to be a producer on the show.
Yeah, so. She's going to be a producer on the show, and she's going to have a lot more say, which is very nice.
So I'm excited to see where they go with it.
I am too. Were you a fan of like the Addams Family before Wednesday?
I wouldn't say I was a huge fan. I watched the movie when I was younger. I've always really liked, like, the fan art of Gomez and Morticia. Like, it's always been, like, when it comes up on my Twitter feed or whatever, or my Pinterest or whatever, I've always, like, really loved it, but I never got really into the fandom. But I think I definitely got more into the fandom when Wednesday came out.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. I always have loved, like, the whole, like, romance between Morticia and Gomez.
They're great. They're, like, one of that straight couples that, like, you just can't deny, like, they're one of the best.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you are what I would call a certified fantasy girl.
Yes.
We've already gone through, you've written for She-Ra, Game of Thrones, Critical Role, Wednesday, The Addams Family. And for the most part, you do stay in these worlds. You don't really play around with modern AU or college AU. Not that you never do it, because your Critical Role fic are both of those things.
Yeah.
So what about the worlds, these fantasy worlds, makes you stay in them instead of taking the characters and placing them somewhere else?
I love world building.
Okay.
I play D&D. I am a DM.
Oh, okay.
And, and so I think part of it is I like to expand on worlds that are already kind of there. So for She-Ra, I just thought it was such a beautiful, like, world, like, just by, like, the colors and all of that. And I think there was a lot there that wasn't explored in the show. Because a lot of what the show is the interactions between these different princesses. And it's, you know, about, and then they have these runestones and stuff. And they never really go into why or what the different, or like what the kingdom looks like, or what it was like before the Horde or anything like that. And I think with Marriage of Convenience, that was my main goal, was to expand on that world a little bit more and make it a little bit grittier, because it's a children's show, but it has these really, really dark and gritty themes to it,
for sure.
Where, and they, they touch on it a little bit with Katra's character, I think, and then a little bit with Adora's, but mm-hmm. other than that, they don't really, because it's a kid's show, and they kind of gloss over these, like, there's war and kind of like this genocide type mm-hmm. thing that are going on there, and I just wanted to make what was already given a little bit more mm-hmm. sure, I guess. And then with Wednesday, it's also that same thing where they have their own little universe going on,
yes. but
it's kind of weird. Like, uh-huh. It's just off enough where I was like, I feel like I could fix this.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's what fan fiction, it's a fix it, you exactly. know? I'm fixing what I think is fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and then with the Critical Role thing, yeah, it is technically a college AU, but...
Yeah.
And modern, but it's also still set in Exandria, which is the world that Matt Mercer created.
Mm-hmm.
So, to an extent, it's still in that world. I just wanted to... He is such a good world builder.
And yeah.
so beautiful. I didn't want to expand on his stuff.
For sure.
I just wanted to look at it in a different light.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair. I think, you know, when you're looking at any story, yeah. obviously, like, the original creator, writer, author can only go so far. Like, they can't go over every single square inch. And there's always yeah. going to be that, like, well, what's going on in this town? Or what's going right. on in this land? Or what's going on, you know, or even, right. you know, with something like a Harry Potter
Yeah.
Where the fans were like, but what about what happened at Hogwarts with the Marauders?
Yeah.
And that was a completely thing that just was, you know, fandom alone.
Right.
And so there's always going to be those things that the author can't get to everything, because it's like, that would be crazy to, like, ask yeah. someone to,
exactly.
like, cover just every square everything. Inch.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's where you guys, the fanfiction authors, come in and just have fun in this world that's kind yeah. of already been built out for you.
Exactly. And I create my own world. I mean, again, I am a DM by nature.
Yeah.
I have my own worlds that I have, like, we play in when we play D&D, me and my friends.
Yeah.
But, so I know what it takes to put, like, what it takes to make a world.
Yeah.
And so I know it's really hard. It's a really hard thing, and you have to think about a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that's one of my, I really like character development and role playing. Mm-hmm. That's probably my two favorite things for media.
Okay.
Yeah.
Since you are a DM, do you think that writing fan fiction and DMing, does one ever help the other? Like, does your experience being a DM ever help in you writing fan fiction, or vice versa?
I think they kind of both help each other out in a
yeah.
way. I started writing fan fiction before I was a DM.
Okay, yeah.
So I think my skills in terms of creating those worlds were kind of more enhanced
mm-hmm.
after I started playing D&D, because I kind of understood more what all you have to think about when you
yeah.
are making these worlds and how difficult it can be.
Sure.
But then also on the flip side of that, I think my writing ability and, like, my note-taking ability, that's all from my fan fiction writing. Like,
yeah.
it's so weird how, like, a weird little extracurricular that I don't even do it for money or any, obviously.
Yeah.
It kind of helped me academically, too.
Okay.
I studied biology and Spanish.
Okay.
In college, and I'm in my master's right now, so, mm-hmm. and, like, I can, like, crank out a 5-page essay, no problem.
Yeah.
Whereas some people have issues with that.
I think it's so fun that, like, the last, I think, 3 or 4 of the authors that I've had on this podcast are all in the medical field, or, like,
oh,
the
really?
Science field in some way, shape, or form.
That
and,
is
like,
funny.
Something like fan fiction, which is such a creative endeavor, you would be like, oh, you went into some, you write for
right.
a living, or, like, you know, and then
right.
it's like the last couple of people, they're like, I'm in getting a psychology degree, or I am
yeah.
like getting a nursing degree or a biology degree.
I wonder if it's because in the sciences, you're kind of, it's more structured than I would say, like,
yeah.
a degree as, and I can say that because I kind of have both, because
okay.
a Spanish degree
yeah.
is basically an English degree, but in Spanish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And with science, you're in labs all day. You're kind of taught how to take notes and how to be really meticulous about things. And I think sometimes people in science need to have hobbies outside of that.
Absolutely.
So I'm wondering if it has something to do with that. But that is really interesting. I have also noticed that just in my own, like, reading fanfictions, that a lot of authors are doctors or lawyers or in the science field.
Yeah.
And then lawyer.
Absolutely. I think it's, like, just because I never really, like, I guess I was always on the other side of it, of just like, this is a creative thing. We're all creative people. We're all in, like, liberal arts degrees. Because it's like, I got my degree in communications. It's like notoriously the most, like, joked on degree because of how easy it is. And I just, my degree was just writing. Like, all I did was write all the time. Like, I never really took tests. I just, like, wrote like dozens and dozens of pages. And then Maya is getting a film and a Vila performance degree, like two very creative degrees. And so we never were like, oh, the STEM kids or whatever, like, they're off doing something else. That's another endeavor for them. And then I've just talked to a lot of people at the end, you know, of this year, half of this year. And it's just like, oh, I'm in this, like, deep into this science field. And I was like, oh, my God. And they're like, someone I spoke to was like, yeah, I'm doing, like, my nursing runs right now where, like, you're in the hospital all day, and then I'll get hit with an idea for a fan fiction, and then I go off to the side and I just put it in my notes app for later, like, while she's doing, like, rounds in the hospital.
I've been there. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. I'm going into education specifically, so, but science education.
Yeah.
That's what my master's is in. So, but yeah, I mean, it's weird. I remember doing that with, like chemistry labs or bio labs, where there's a lot of waiting around.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am a maladaptive daydreamer.
Yeah.
And just thinking about, oh, what if this happened? And then, making a quick note, either in a notebook or on my phone. Mm-hmm. Like, think about this later.
You're like, when I can sit down in front of my computer later, I will.
Yeah, exactly. So that's really funny. That's really interesting.
Yeah. I've said it enough times that, like, it gets a tired at this point, but it's like, it's one of my favorite things about this podcast, just talking to other people. Cause it not only opens up, like, I'm hoping other people's eyes to, like, who fan fiction writers are. And it's not just, like, this one idea or this one look of person, but it's like, there's so many people, and it's like the idea of, like, your doctor could be writing fan fiction on the side.
Or you're a teacher.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah. It is kind of crazy.
It's just, like, such a fun thing for me. I just think about it, like, all the time, where it's like, now I go about my life and I'm like,
do you have the chops? Exactly.
Yeah. If I see someone, like, off to the side, they're, like, typing a quick note, and I'm like, I wonder if that's a fanfiction note for later.
It might be.
I think about it constantly now.
That is amazing. I should live my life like that. Maybe I should. I will say, sometimes I, like, work with people, and they have, like, people, I'm not talking about, like, students, but, like, my, like, coworkers, and sometimes they're so interested in one thing that, and I'm like, I wonder.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I've gotten to a place in my life where I'm starting to open up more about, like, reading and writing and having a podcast about fan fiction.
Right.
And you would be surprised about the amount of people who I'm like, oh, like, what do you do as a hobby? Right. And I'm like, oh, I have a podcast about what? Fan fiction. And they're like, oh my God, I read da-da-da fan fiction. Or I used to read da-da-da fan fiction. Like, it's almost like the topic of fan fiction is a make or break situation of, like, it's either held back completely, totally, or, like, at the very mention, it's like a dam has just burst wide open.
Right. No, I have noticed that before. I mean, I feel like I don't always get asked people, like, right when I, like, I'm just starting a relationship with them, but a lot of times, like, if we're, like, a couple months in and they're like, what are you gonna do this weekend? Oh, I'm gonna go write fan fiction.
Yeah.
And just see what they do. A lot of times, especially people in my generation, most of them have read fan fiction.
Yeah.
So then they obviously have a story about, oh, I read this or that, and X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. I have noticed that it either is like, yeah, in one way or another, they've read fan fiction of like, oh, I used to read, or like, mm-hmm. I one time read a Harry Potter fan fiction. Right. I am currently reading this fan fiction, or I'm in this fandom, or even the people who are like, what is fan fiction? What is that? Right. And it's mostly like older individuals who I'm like, okay, let me explain.
Let me tell you what this is. Yeah. Harry Potter is a big one. I was a big Harry Potter fan when I was a kid, but I wasn't ever in the actual like
fandom.
Yeah. Yeah. I was obsessed with it. I was the type of kid that would reread the books every year.
Okay.
But I never read fan fiction for it, even though it's really popular.
Yeah.
And I think part of that was just that they don't have, I think it's that thing where it's like, they don't have a lot of like sapphic.
Yeah.
Ship. I mean, they do have ships that are sapphic, but the vast majority of them aren't, and that's the popular side of the fandom, and so I think I just was probably, I mean, also I was really young, I probably didn't know what fanfiction was, but I have read that.
Do you ever feel almost left out of fandoms, almost, because AO3 and fandom is very, what's like the opposite of sapphic, gay men centric?
There's
a lot of like male fan fictions, like almost every single time the top 10 fan fictions of the year will be male ships, people ship men together all the time, and like there's a small corner of the internet, and like of course there are going to be like of the top 100 there will be like female ships on there, but the ratio it's like 5 to 6 to 1, right? So do you ever feel almost that you have to find your place in a fandom, or like that you're left out of fandoms when there is no like sapphic shipping, or if there is no like lesbian in a show?
Yeah, I think that when I was younger, definitely. I mean, around the time I was on Tumblr and stuff, there was this really growing sentiment that lesbians were evil.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know what that was about, but like just like they would make like memes, like I'm talking like the, like this is just I guess the Tumblr like gay people, but they'd make these memes that would be like chaotic good versus like chaotic neutral, chaotic evil, and all, and lesbians were always the worst one. And I think when I was young, I didn't feel really a part of both the LGBTQ community, but also a lot of the fandoms that I liked or that I was in. But I think as of right now, a lot of the fandoms I am in are so sapphic that it's almost kind of a flip flop of that, where it's the most popular ships are going to be the sapphic ships. But I do, I mean, there's always a part of me that is a little bit frustrated when sometimes when you go into a fandom and you look up a specific ship, like, that you really want to read that's a sapphic ship, you have to really, like, scroll through to find one that's not them as a side ship, that's them as, like, the main fanfic, like, as main as a main ship. But I think specifically the fandoms that I write for, they're all very sapphic. Like, if you go into the Wednesday tag, it's almost all sapphic.
Yeah.
And same with She-Ra. And same. And Critical Role is kind of, I mean, they just don't, I mean, they have a lot of, they have so many different
campaigns.
That
for
it's
sure.
Just, it depends on the campaign. But even then, like, you'll find what you want to find.
Yeah.
So.
Is it for, I mean, at some points, I think for fandoms, I know it was like a really difficult time to be a woman loving woman for the past 2 years, especially with a bunch of shows being canceled that were like, and I mean, I'm not like a full lesbian. I am bisexual.
Okay.
So I'm like a very new bisexual within the last like 3 years that I was
congratulations.
Thank you so much. That I like women, and it's like always been that thing of like, I love when the LGBTQ community is celebrated in any show, but it is that thing of like, I love Heartstopper.
Yeah.
It has a male main ship, but then a bunch of lesbian shows got canceled all the time.
Yeah, you're talking about like Grease, Rise of the Pink Ladies, and then
there was like that vampire show Killing Eve. I don't know if it got canceled, but the ending was terrible.
Yeah, so that's called Kill Your Gays. And I mean, I think the first one I remember that being like the first time I remember that being like a problem for me was The 100.
Yes, with Clark and Lexa.
Yeah. And that's one of the biggest, I don't know if it's the biggest sapphic.
It's pretty big, yeah.
Couple on AO3, but it's if it's not, it's one of the biggest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's either second or third. And it, I think it is hard to see when you're watching that show and you're really invested in that show. But I also think it provides a really good opportunity for fan fiction writers.
Absolutely, yeah.
To like, I think a lot of times people, fans, will go to fan fictions to kind of heal from that. Mm-hmm. But it's really hard, and I think for a lot of people, me included, it's kind of hard to watch a show that you know has a lesbian in it.
Yeah.
Until you know what happens to them, because they're going to, like, get hooked on this character, and then they die. And, yeah, Killing Eve, great show.
Yes.
Ending.
Yes.
Same thing with... I mean, Warrior Nun got canceled. It's coming back, but that's also a really big fan fiction community. I don't read a lot of that, but I know that a lot of people like it. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's really difficult media. I think for some reason, whether it be some sort of fetishization or not, gay men... couples are just more popular for media, because I think that a lot of straight women really like that. I don't know why. Like, I know that I've heard like videos talking about like why that is, but I don't remember it at all.
Right. Like, it's not kept at the forefront of my brain at all times.
Right, exactly. But I think that, you know, I think there is still that. I think there's a growing anger in the soccer community, but also I think that Warrior Nun is coming back. So I think that there still is hope for shows to not do that. I think that the community is growing louder, and I hope that continues to be.
Do you ever wish within something like the AO3 community, like not like going back to like traditional television and like, you know, put out by like Netflix or whatever, like those big corporations, but like within a community like AO3, that there would be or there could be more love for sapphic ships that are like, I wish that like every single year there was like there's a couple female ships along with the, you know, top 10 male ships, or that female ships could get the hundreds and thousands of hits that these male ship fics get.
I mean, of course I do. I think that I wish there were more fan fiction. I think for sapphic couples, I think it's something that I'm always like looking for more, and I want more. Whereas I think sometimes with the gay ships, they have like 50,000 fix for one couple, whereas like, you know, maybe I have 50,000 fix for a variety of different couples across the shows. And I mean, I wish that there were more. I will say, I think that a lot of times the sapphic ships are just so good though. Like that.
Sure.
It's like, I do wish there were more, but I am also really happy with what people have written.
Yeah. You're like, I wish there were more, but also I'm glad that canonically Adora and Catra are together, and I'm not just like doing whatever the fuck the Supernatural fandom was going through over there.
Oh my god, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Supernatural fandom.
Yeah, you're like, it's a give and take.
Right, exactly. No, I think that there is just, I mean, I think there's less weirdness. I mean, maybe not weirdness. There's just less problematic stuff a lot of times.
Sure. I think that's also like because there's not as much like, I heard it one time where in like specific fandoms of like, there's always going to be 5% of like weirdos, like true blue, like weirdos in like a fandom. But if you have like 500 people, that means there's only like 5 weirdos. Where like if it's a fandom of like a million people, that's like way more, like, weirdos. Right.
I mean, there's always going to be the weirdos. There's always going to be weird stuff and problematic stuff in fandom just because yeah. that's just how our world is. But
yeah.
there's less. And I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Because I don't see as much of it and I just can hear about it.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
But going to your fan fiction, like how you write fan fiction, when you do write fan fiction, are you typically a planner, a pantser, a mix of both?
I think I am. I honestly am just someone who I just start writing and I see what comes out.
So, my God, you're yeah. speaking my language.
Yeah. And then I fix it and I change it and edit it from there. I've yeah. had beta readers too in the past who have helped with that mm-hmm. process.
Betas are great.
They are great. Shout out to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I plan for, I would say, sometimes I will plan for like longer fix mm-hmm. sometimes, but usually it's after I've already written the first or second, like the first sure. couple chapters that I'm sure. like, okay, I need to know where I'm going with
yeah.
that so that it's not just like adrift.
Right.
But yeah, I'm definitely someone that I just start writing.
And I love a fellow pantser. Nothing yeah. I love more.
Yeah. It's just word vomit.
It's like a boost of adrenaline, just like yeah. to just get it all out on a page and then just be like, oh my God, yeah. what did I do? It's just a blur. Right. I just blacked exactly. out.
Exactly. What do I need to fix? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
Nice.
And I think you can tell with some of my earlier fix.
Sure.
Like, specifically the one with the women's national team. Like, that's right. just shit posting. Like, just... Again, I don't know. I was like, what, 19, 20, 20? Mm-hmm. Just, I don't know what was coming out of my mind
right.
at that point. So.
I will never, RPF is like one of those things in fan fiction that is like such a debate.
Yeah.
But I will never be one to judge because I know it, right. it deeply comes from like a feralness of like, I yeah. needed this to be in the world.
I don't think I would, I don't think I'd ever write that, like real people fanfic, mm-hmm. like. In my old age.
In this era of my life.
Yeah. But I think when I was younger, and part of it for like when I think of like things like Gaylor, like Taylor Swift,
yeah.
part of what that is young sapphic
yeah.
kids wanting to see themselves reflected in
for sure
cool that they see in the media. And like, I don't always, I mean, yeah, it's definitely a controversial thing, but
yeah.
I think that's kind of where I was at least when I was writing that. I think now I'm older and I've been kind of out for a couple years and
mm-hmm.
kind of like able to calm down that feralness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now I can look at someone like Taylor Swift and be like, I don't know if she's
yeah.
doing that, and that is okay. And I
yeah.
don't need to like
right.
like a conspiracy theorist about it.
I can like this a normal amount now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And then in your writing, has there ever been a trope or an AU that you have yet to try your hand at that you want
oh.
to? And on the other side of that coin, is there a trope or AU that you would never touch?
That's a good question. I haven't thought about that. I think I really like meet cutes.
Love meet cutes.
And I think that I always kind of incorporate an element of that
mm-hmm.
to my fanfics. I kind of wish that I did more one-shots.
Okay.
Just because, especially like right now, I'm doing my master's degree and
mm-hmm.
I just don't have time to...
Yeah.
I work a full-time and then I come home and do my master's degree.
Yeah.
So I don't have a ton of time to like spend thinking about really long fanfics sometimes. So I think I wish I did more like one-shot, like meet-cute
mm-hmm.
type stuff, because a lot of the stuff I write ends up really angsty and like...
Okay.
Hurt comfort type.
Yeah.
Because that's what I read a lot of. I don't know why. I just like it. And then what I would never write. I don't write a lot of smut.
I noticed that.
I don't judge people that do. I don't
mm-hmm.
like it. I don't like writing it. Mm-hmm. I usually skip that part when I'm reading fanfics.
I mean, I get it. You have a world to build, and right. that takes time, and you have no exactly. time for this other shit.
Exactly. And, like, again, don't... I mean, I've read my fair share of smut, too.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but, like, it's just... I just don't... I don't think I'd ever write it. I'm more of a fade to black kind of person.
Sure. Yeah. No, I think there's a good mix of both. I definitely yeah. am a lover of smut. I think the yeah. last author interview I had, we just talked about smut for, like, half an hour
okay.
because
amazing.
She is a smut author, and so we were just uh-huh. bouncing off each other and being right. like, it's great, oh my god. Uh-huh. But then my sister, she likes a fade to black. Like, she doesn't yeah. really like explicit. She'd rather not. She'd rather, like, get back to the story. Even in something like right. a romance novel where it's, like, specifically about the couple and not, like, yeah. a whole world-building plotting kind of a show that the right. author's doing. But she is all, she, like, we, I get it. It's just not everyone's cup of tea. Right. And, like, that doesn't mean that, like, anyone's shaming smut lovers. Because,
no.
like, totally understand. I love a good smut.
Yeah.
But when I'm talking to my sister, I can understand that she likes a fade to black.
Right. And, I mean, if anyone ever wants to write what happens after the fade to black, I would welcome it.
Hey! Fanfic of the fanfic.
Yeah, exactly. But I just, you know, I don't know. It's just, I'm not comfortable with it. I think it has something to do with being raised in the Catholic
sure.
Church and, you know, the,
yeah.
I mean, that shame aspect of
sure.
everything. Yeah, that's probably what I would say.
Yeah, okay. But you were saying specific, like, back when a little while ago, you were saying about one-shots. Do you have difficulty writing one-shots? Because you were saying before that, like, you write a chapter or two and you're like, well, this needs to be a whole thing now.
Yeah, I do. I think that's part of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's specific, like, my Wednesday fic honestly probably could have been a one shot.
Right.
And then I was like, okay, but what if I expanded on it?
Yes.
I've written one shots before, so I
yes.
can do it. I think I start writing and then I'm like, but what if I did this?
Mm-hmm.
And I expanded on it and I'm like, and I think that's where my tendencies come out.
Yeah.
To just
yeah.
write.
No, that's fair. I mean, I've never been one for one shots. Even the one shots that I have written tie back into, like, the main multi-chapter story in some
right.
way, shape, or form. So I've also never been one to be like, this, like, no, I need to add more to this. This can
right.
be more.
Right. And I think I wrote a lot more one shots when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't, I think I've written a lot of one shots and just not finished them.
That's fair. Yeah. One shots are so fascinating because they can either be like a perfect starting ground for, like, you started writing, they're just quick, easy things to write. They can be challenges. At the very beginning of the podcast, we talked to someone who did a challenge where you could write you could only write 500 word one shots. Like, it had to be exactly 500 words.
Right.
Or on one, the other hand, we have, like, the beginner, a challenge, or it could just be like, you've perfected the one shot.
Yeah.
And, like, that's, you're the necessary backbone of the community while you're waiting for the multi-chapter people to update.
Right. No, I think, yeah, I think that, I mean, I really like, I personally really like, character study one shots,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just so bad at writing them. Or
yeah.
maybe I am better than I think I am, and I just
you just don't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so I really want to try to start doing that more,
mm-hmm.
and be better with one shots, just because
yeah.
I think that also would solve my issue of never finishing fics.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah.
But to talk about your one shots, because I think it is one of my favorite things when I was looking for your AO3, because I rarely get to talk about Taylor Swift in a casual, nonchalant way. because it's not a thing that I could just talk about and just be like on the podcast.
Right.
And like, we're talking about Taylor Swift today. So
yeah.
when I was going through your AO3, I was like, I get to talk about Taylor
yeah.
Swift.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So you have a series, you have two Taylor Swift song fic one shots.
Yes.
And I just wanted to talk to you about them.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to know, like, where you got the ideas from them. The two you have are specifically Cornelia Street and Long Live, songs from the Lover and the Speak Now albums. How
right.
did you decide that you were going to write one shots specifically about these two songs? How much
yeah.
of the songs do you incorporate into the fix?
Cornelia Street is my favorite song off of Lover.
Okay.
And Long Live is my favorite song off of Speak Now.
Ooh, okay.
And so I think what I was doing is I again, those were pandemic fix.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was probably listening to a lot of Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I know I was. I think that was right around the time that the Sister albums came out.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm sure I was, you know, just listening to a lot of Taylor Swift. And yeah. I was like, I mean, part of my writing process is listening to songs or making playlists with songs in them to, like, listen to. Because I think I write better when I can hear the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Kahan, Taylor Swift.
Great, yeah.
Those kinds of artists really help me kind of characterize some of the, like, characters that I write with. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that's what I was doing. I think with Cornelia Street, the whole thing is mostly about Adora finding something that could be, like, representative of Cornelia Street. So, like,
mm-hmm.
finding a home that you can, well, that song is just so beautiful.
It is. Oh, it's a great song.
And so just, you know, I think that's what that one is. And then Long Live, I really like to think of Long Live as a song that Taylor is talking to her children, like, with,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so I think when I was writing that one, it was more of, like, Adora telling their kids about their adventures and mm-hmm. their storybook, I guess,
yeah.
of a romance. So I think that's what those were. And I think Taylor Swift songs specifically. And also, I mean, The Ghost That We Knew Will Flicker From You, that's also a song.
Mm.
That's a Mumford & Sons.
Oh, okay.
It's a Mumford & Sons song. And it's a song about kind of getting over these terrible things that have happened in life with a partner.
Okay.
And also, like, growing from them and raising a family and that kind of stuff. And it's really a good song for that ship, Lana mm-hmm. and Imogen, because of the trauma that they have.
Yeah.
And, like, I could go in more into that, but it would probably be a whole podcast thing. But yeah, back to Taylor Swift. I just, like, I've been such a Taylor Swift fan for so
yeah.
long, and her songs are just so perfect a lot of the times. I have, I think, at least one or two of her songs in every single playlist that I mm-hmm. make, especially when I'm writing fan fiction.
I mean, she has something for every mood, you know?
Exactly. And so I think those, and, like, I love, I think songs, like, listening to a song on repeat really mm-hmm. helps me write.
Yeah.
I don't know why, it just does.
Sure.
I think I find a lot of my inspiration in music.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how much musicians actually know what they've done for the fanfiction community.
Right.
So many fanfiction authors titled
yeah.
after Taylor Swift lyrics, yeah. after Hozier lyrics.
So yeah. I have a whole playlist that is just for Marriage of Convenience on my Spotify.
Oh, yeah. They just don't know what they've done for us. Some of my favorite
yeah.
things are when, like, someone like Taylor Swift drops a new album and it's, like, memes that, like, fanfiction authors looking through the lyrics to see what they
yeah.
can title their next fanfic
exactly.
as.
Exactly, exactly. That's me. I mean, I don't always. I only have a couple ones that are actually song titles.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, you know.
It's so good. And it's right
so
there.
Good. Exactly.
Why do I have to put it in words when they've already done it? They've already
yeah.
done it. And they've done
exactly.
it so well.
Exactly. And I love it, and that's how I, like, know a fanfic is gonna be good. If I see
yes.
a title and I'm like, I know what song this is.
Yes. There's also
yeah.
like that, like, connection of, like, oh, you are also going just back to Taylor Swift, you are also a Taylor Swift fan. We are already
right.
friends. This is gonna
yeah.
be so good. We have the
exactly.
same vibe. We're the same person.
Exactly. In fact, one of the fanfic authors that I have that I recommending has a fic where it is just based off of Taylor. It's not like a Gaylor's fanfic, but it's a song kind of based off of Taylor, a fanfic based off of Taylor Swift's experiences with a ship. And I
okay.
think it's such a good, I love it. I think it's
yeah.
such a good, like, premise.
I mean, just, like, even fanfictions based around, like, because when Folklore came out, like, a lot of the songs are, like, stories that she made up. And I have never gone looking for it because I've never thought about it until, like, talking to you right now, where I'm like, I wonder if there's a fanfic out there of, like, everything that happened between August, Betty, and James.
Oh, I'm sure.
Or, like, the Last Great American Dynasty, a full fanfiction about that.
I would love to read it. I'm sure that there are ones in fandoms, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think, I can't remember anything.
Yeah.
Like that, but I've read so many fanfictions that...
Absolutely.
If I when you asked me to tell me some of my favorite ones, I really had to like.
I know, it's a very difficult question to like pick your children.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I'm just like I. It was one of my favorite things when I was looking on, and I just saw like, I don't even think I like registered what the title was at first because I was like just originally looking through the fandoms of like, okay, so it's this one for this fandom, and then I just saw like series Taylor Swift songfic. Yeah. One shots, and I was like, oh my god, I get to talk about Taylor Swift.
And those are the ones that I'm like, I kind of want to do more of those.
Yes.
So we'll see.
Maybe I was going to ask, I was like, would you ever go back? It doesn't even have to be Taylor Swift. You probably have other musicians that you listen to now.
I still listen to Taylor Swift. I mean, in fact, I just pulled up my Spotify.
Yeah.
The song that was playing right before I got onto the call was Nothing New.
Oh, incredible song.
Well, Red's my favorite album. And
okay.
That's one of my favorite songs off of Red.
Okay.
And so it's just, and in fact, that is, I think I was listening to a playlist for a character that I'm like, I want to make a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a playlist for that specific character.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. So, we'll be here forever.
Yes, I love Taylor Swift.
And I think, like, the idea of something like having a song that is so, you know, when musicians and songwriters are writing songs, they obviously have to condense, like, something into 3-4 minutes.
Right.
So it's very, a short thing, a short feeling, something like Cornelia Street of, like, finding where home is, or Long Live of, like, telling my story of, like, reliving this incredible moment of this era of my life that is so perfect for one shots.
Well, and like, yeah, and even like, I love that, like, so with Long Live, and now she has Castles Crumbling,
mm-hmm.
too, which is kind of the like opposite of Long Live.
Yeah.
And I love the fantasy aspect. I mean, obviously, again, I love fantasy.
I mean, yeah.
So, yeah, I just, she has so much good. Mm-hmm. I mean, and a lot of people think she's overrated, whatever, I don't care, but.
Not in this house.
No, not in this house.
Not in this episode, it's not.
The feeling that, like, I went to one of her shows.
Yeah.
I went to the Eras Tour. And the feeling of sitting there, and yeah, the feeling of sitting there while Long Live was playing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you know, emotional, and, like, writing about that is kind of what I'm trying, I try to get at when I listen to fanfics. And a lot of times, if I do have a specific playlist that I am listening to, I'll put it in the fic. Like, I'll try to, but not always. I should probably be better about that. But I'm pretty sure the Marriage of Convenience playlist is in there at some point.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so long, I don't know when I
put
it in there. But, yeah. So it's just, yeah. She's just, I really, like, her lyrics are just, I really love them.
Yeah, she's a writer in her own right, like, truly and honestly, like, the pictures that she paints in her music is really just, like, how, like, I want to be that kind of writer where it's, like, you know, you have just a short time to paint an entire landscape before you, and it's, like, my God.
Exactly, and I like the rumor that she has written a fanfic. Have you heard that?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, she wrote one of the Marauders fics.
Yes. There was a rumor that went around that she wrote all the Young Dudes.
Yes.
Which is, like, one of the most, if not the most popular Marauders fanfic.
Exactly. Which I think would be kind of iconic. It honestly would kind of make sense to me.
I mean,
I haven't read the fanfic, but she seems like someone that would write fanfic.
Yeah. No, I mean, even just what she gives to us, like, yeah, it's something like, obviously, like, there are motifs and, like, storylines throughout, like, all of her albums, but I think we really saw it in Folklore of, like, this is a whole story. We're getting an entire story. She could do it. I believe in her.
She has too many thoughts. I feel like people have too many thoughts about something. That's when you start writing fanfic.
Absolutely. When your brain just can't shut the fuck up.
That's when you have to start writing.
Yeah.
No, that's what I would say, at least.
No, you just get an inert pull to be like, I have to do this. It's not even like, but I wouldn't be good. Who cares? You just got to do it. And you got to do it right now.
Exactly. That's what I say. Yeah. Just start writing and you won't be good.
Yeah.
Your first fic will not be good, especially if you've never written a short story before.
Yeah.
But you will develop those skills. And like, that's how I feel about drawing too. I like to draw. And like, my first couple drawings were terrible. They look like elementary school.
Yep.
But now I feel more comfortable in that, and like I can share that more without being like, oh, this is so ugly.
Yeah.
So
I guess my next question was going to be, what's the best writing advice that you could give? Is that it? That like, just do it. It's going to be shit at first, but just keep going. Yeah,
I think I would say that. And then also on top of that, like find your muse, or like find your thing that really helps you write. Like for me, it's music.
Yeah.
Or talking to my partner about something and just forcing them to listen to me about Critical Role or Wednesday. And luckily my partner is interested in those things. Critical Role less so. But just like talking to people about it, talking to people about what about this and that. And a lot of times that's how I get good ideas, is just talking out loud.
Yeah.
To someone, even if it's or maybe over text if it's an internet friend. That's what I would say. It's just do it. If you're thinking about writing, just do it. If you hate it, that's okay. There's sometimes I hate it sometimes. It can get really tedious.
Yeah.
But if there's like specific, I think also a lot of times if you have like the ending of a story that you really want to write the ending. Write what you want to write, and then build up to that point afterwards. Because that's how a lot of good, like for She-Ra, I'm pretty sure, I don't know this for a fact, so hopefully no one.
Take it with a grain of salt.
I'm pretty sure that Andy Stevenson, who was the showrunner of She-Ra, wrote Save the Cat first.
Okay. And then
wrote the rest of it afterwards. And Save the Cat's the episode in She-Ra where Catra kind of gets redeemed. Kind of. I mean, maybe not redeemed. It's the turning point for Catra's story, where she kind of goes to the good side, or to the princess's side. And it's a very good episode. I love that episode. And in fact, they wrote a fanfic in the She-Ra fandom. If you look at the She-Ra fandom and you look like the most popular fics, like by Kudos, it's the first one there.
That's so funny.
Yeah, and so that's how you know that's a good show, is when the showrunner wrote fanfiction for their own show. And then they were super like, I might have done this, and then people found it.
I might have.
Yeah. It was so funny.
Is it the one called Don't Go?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's literally post-episode, season 5, episode 5, Save the Cat.
Exactly.
That's so funny.
That's by the showrunner of She-Ra.
The way that there is no other fan fiction from this author.
No, it's just that one. Exactly.
Oh my god, this is so fascinating.
Yeah, you should read it later.
I might have to. This is so fascinating.
Yeah, you might have to get into it. And I love that it has so many kudos.
Yeah.
And so many
I'm looking through the comments right now, and the way that the comments start of, like, normal AO3 comments of, like, this is so cute. Yeah. I love Catra's conversation with Entrapta. And then, quite literally, once you keep going, it's like, I'm sorry, this is the show. I'm sorry. What the fuck?
Yep, exactly. That's how it was. That's how it felt. In fact, I'm pretty sure I read it. And I was like, "Dak, I mean, it's so well written.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. I wonder who wrote this." It was N.D. Stevenson.
That's crazy. Oh my god, there's someone on here who left a comment, like, this is so cute, freaking out, love them both so much. And then immediately underneath left a comment to their comment that says, I swear to god, if this is N.D.'s fanfiction, and this is the dumbass comment that I left here.
Exactly.
That's so great.
That was the sentiment in the fandom at the time.
I would love to know, like, how people even, because even if N.D. Stevenson was like, I might have written fan fiction, nothing about the account Yeah. Like, the accounts by the name of the author is Anna Charlier, so it's, like, yeah. not even, like, nothing.
I think they gave a couple of hints.
Okay.
And people were able to figure it out.
They quite literally made a fanfiction AO3 account day yeah. of, posted that fanfic, and then disappeared.
Correct. if that fanfic author ever writes again, people will automatically know who it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, if I remember right, it was part of like some live stream and they said something.
Yeah.
Or, like, someone made a joke about it, and then people all over Twitter were like, we need to find it. And then they might have just said it at some point because people were so like obsessed with it. But I don't remember exactly what happened.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what happened to my recollection.
That's so fun. Even if it's like even close to that, that's so yeah. funny. I love that so much. But yeah, so I have come to my last two questions. Okay. So these are like you have to choose your children, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. I have a YN's choice, so a Kenzie's choice of the fix that you have written. Which is your favorite and why?
Oh, of the ones I've written?
The ones that you've written, normally people, I don't think I've ever had someone say something that is not published on AO3 or their fanfiction on Instacount.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I love them all so differently. Yeah.
Yes.
It might be Marriage of Convenience just because I did so much. Like, mm-hmm. I basically made a whole separate culture for that.
Yeah.
Fanfic. I did a lot of like thinking about the world because they basically put Catra in a different environment than she mm-hmm. grew up in, and in doing so I had to create a whole different society and culture that was a part of Etheria, the world mm-hmm. that they're in. And so it might be that one just because it's people really like it, and then B, I have a lot of like fan art for that one that I like did when I was trying to develop the characters.
Mm-hmm. So, I love when fanfiction authors get fan art of their yeah. of their fanfic. It's so precious. It's so yeah. perfect.
I also love it.
Yeah. And then very last question, and the one that you have a little bit mentioned already. What are your favorite fix, or the fix that you would recommend the most?
Okay. So I have three, and I did them based off of the last three fandoms that I've written for.
Okay.
So the first one is Critical Role, and it's called I See Fire, and then in parentheses, I Hope You Remember Me by Dark Disrepair. It's a Imogen and Laudna, which I think is also known as Imodna.
Okay.
Fun fact, actually, about them. They're the longest-running sapphic ship in media in history.
Oh, wow.
Just because of how long Critical Role is.
Yeah.
I think so, at least. Someone told me that. Hopefully it's...
I mean, that sounds about right for as long as, like, a D&D campaign runs for.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's... And especially, like, how little attention sapphics have gotten in other media.
Exactly.
So that sounds about right.
It's a fanfic that's, it's pretty, I would say it's pretty angsty and kind of dark, to an extent, but that's kind of how the Critical Role, if you're a Critical Role fan, I wouldn't say it's darker than Critical Role, like, mm-hmm. it's not, like, anything more explicit than that, because I will say that fandom, there's some really intense stuff going on.
Okay.
And it's basically a fanfic where... So I kind of mentioned this before. It's kind of hard to explain unless you mm-hmm. like know what's going on in the Critical Role world.
Yeah.
But there's the Vox Machina, which is the first campaign they did.
Yes. That's the one that they have the Amazon Prime show about,
yes.
right?
Yes. Yes. And so it's those characters caring for Imogen and Laudna as children. Because mm-hmm. both Imogen and Laudna have really... Well, Laudna... She is a dead person.
Okay.
She's not alive. She's called a hollow one, which is just okay. She's kind of like a zombie, I guess. But anyway,
undead.
So she's undead. That's great. That's a great And so it's her being taken care of by Percy and Vex'ahlia, who are the two characters tied to Whitestone, which is where she's from. And then Imogen's getting cared for by Keyleth, who is one of the other characters. She's the druid in the campaign. And I really like it. I think it's really good. That's the author I was talking about, who also has a Taylor Swift-inspired fanfic. And I just think it's really well written.
Very nice.
And then my second one is She-Ra. Mm-hmm. It's called Anachromism by Shell the Writer.
Okay.
It's Adora and Catra. Catradora, of course. It's a post-canon AU.
Ooh.
And the whole plot of it is it's Catra and Adora trying to save... Well, this is spoilers. So if you haven't watched She-Ra, then...
Skip the next 30 seconds.
But it's basically the queen of Brightman was trapped to this, like, vortex portal thing. And it's Catra and Adora trying to save her. But in doing so, they kind of get thrust in back into the story of She-Ra, and they have to redo it all.
Oh.
And it's pretty, it gets pretty dark too, I would say, but it's also really good. And they're fighting this other being that's part of this portal, and they're kind of like trapped in their minds, and they're trying to get out.
Okay.
It's really, I really like it.
Okay.
And then the last one is I Can Hear Your Heartbeat by Let's Be Honest Guys.
Ooh, love that username.
It's a good one. And that's When Claire, Wednesday, and Enid fanfic. And it's a cute. This is a cute one. I said cute, 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 light on the angst. And I also wrote Grumpy Ex Sunshine, which is kind of the epitome of their relationship.
Yeah.
So if you like Enid and Wednesday, I think this one's a one shot.
Okay.
So you'd like this one.
Very cute.
Yeah.
Perfect. Oh my god. Well, thank you for narrowing down all your beloved fan fiction choices to three.
Yes. Yeah, it was hard. It was really hard.
That was the very first time we ever had a guest on. We had let her know. We were like, hey, we're going to ask you like what your favorite is. And she was like, okay, cool. And we were expecting like what? I don't even know what we were expecting. Like, we had never done it before. We were just like, okay.
Yeah.
And then while we were recording, she was like, I picked three. Is that okay? And we were like, yeah. I don't know why we could have ever asked you to pick one. Like, that was stupid of us.
Well, and like, especially with like writers or like people like me who are in so many different fandoms, I'm like, I have to pick which one's like my favorite out of the fandom.
Right.
So.
No, so it stuck to three. Like, it's consistently stuck to three. People are
really?
I can do three, yeah.
That's actually really interesting.
Yeah.
That I am continuing that trend.
Yeah. So I think there was only one person who gave two, but no one's ever given one.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so those are all good ones. I think if you like Marriage of Convenience, you would really like Anachromism.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would even say I like it better than my own fanfic.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's kind of the same on pretty much everything. And then I also will say the Imogen and Modena one, I kind of was inspired to write my fanfic from that fic.
Sure.
So if you ever have read that one too, it's kind of, they're kind of similar, but also different.
Yeah, inspired by.
Yeah, they're inspired. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, amazing. Thank you for being on here with me today.
Of course.
I had just a great time talking to you today.
Yeah, I also had a great time.
Yeah. Is there anything that you would like to promote while we're here at the end? Your AO3 account, any social media, whatever like that?
So my AO3 is Taught Me Daenerys. I have both a art Twitter and a just fan Twitter, I guess. And my Twitter, like, for, like, fanfic, I guess, or just other random stuff is Taught Me Daenerys. And then if you're looking to look at art, my Twitter username for that would be @bone_lady_art.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just has, it's kind of a lot of different fandoms. I like to repost art on there and other stuff. But, and then also when I draw art I usually put it on there. So that's what I'm saying.
Amazing. Thank you for listening to another episode of Canonically Incorrect. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and Tumblr. You can send us your fan fiction recommendations, or if you're a fan fiction author that would like to be on our show, email us at canonicallyincorrectpod@gmail.com. If you would like to support us, you can donate a one-time donation at ko-fi.com/canonicallyincorrect. You can subscribe to our Patreon monthly at patreon.com/canonicallyincorrect. Thank you to our Patreons, Autumnal River and Riley C, for your continued support.
Donate to AO3.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye. Bye.